your credit card bills have gotten out of hand, call Consolidated Credit now. If you're making the minimum payments, but your balance is just not going down, call Consolidated Credit now. If the interest rates on your credit cards are so high, it will take years to get out of debt, call Consolidated Credit now. They've helped over 5 million people. They can consolidate your debts into one lower payment, reduce your interest rates, and get you out of debt fast. If you're struggling with credit card debt, call Consolidated Credit now.
Call now, 800-350-3241. That's 800-350-3241. 800-350-3241.
Consolidated Credit Counseling Services Incorporated, 5701 West Sunrise Boulevard, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 33313. Not a loan company licensed by the New York Department of Financial Services and by the Vermont Department of Financial Regulation. Maryland DM-19, Oregon DM-80031. Licensed by Virginia State Corporation. Commission license number DC-32. Establishment of a plan may adversely affect the individual's credit rating or credit scores. Non-payment of debt may lead creditors to increase financial charges or collections activity, including litigation.
From the campus of Yale University, this is Business Talk with Jim Campbell, nationally syndicated across the country on the Biz Talk Radio Network and coming to you from our flagship stations, Yale Radio WYBC and 1490 AM WGCH Greenwich. All talk and all business, 60 minutes of radio with leading figures from the world of business along with the business of politics and sports. A look behind the art of the deal. Is Donald Trump a great negotiator and deal maker, and will it transfer to politics and the presidency? Inside 50 years of Trump deal making with an internationally recognized negotiation expert, that's all tonight on Business Talk with Jim Campbell. Martin Latch is the founder of Latch Negotiation, author of Gain the Edge, Negotiating to Get What You Want. He has taught more than 100,000 lawyers and business professionals around the world to more effectively negotiate, a Harvard Law Honors graduate. Latz also founded an e-learning negotiation software company, also teaching fellow at Harvard's Kennedy School of Government, where one of his students was not only former president, but Barack Obama, the most recent president. His new book, The Real Trump Deal, an eye-opening look at how he really negotiates. Welcome, Martin. Nice to have you here.
Thank you for inviting me.
I should say welcome, Marty. The book is great, and I said it should have been required reading for the American Electric before the election. But we don't much deal in facts anymore, but you should be commended for writing it from a pretty objective perspective here. Let the reader draw his own conclusions. I guess from a big picture start, is business negotiating transferable to Washington in general?
You know, Jim, you put your finger on a really important part of what President Trump is doing right now. There's a very big difference between business negotiations where Trump allegedly made his bones and did his business deals and presidential negotiations. There's a chapter in my book on the really, in some ways, radical differences between business and presidential negotiations, to say nothing of just regular political negotiations. And as we know, President Trump had no experience other than contributing to a lot of politicians.
Even from a psyche point of view, the competitive nature of Trump, zero sum, he's got to win, he's a killer and all that, is that antithetical to win-win that you have to do in politics?
It is antithetical, and win-win in some political contexts is the way you want to go, what I call problem-solving negotiations in my book. It's not that it's always the way to go in presidential negotiations, but when you're working with members of Congress with whom you have to have a future relationship on deal after deal after deal, you really need to find those mutual interests that win-win. Now, look, when you're negotiating with North Korea, when you're negotiating with Russia, when they take very, very aggressive win-lose strategies, you can't go win-win with them, because otherwise you're going to be on the lose end of a win-lose deal. So in some contexts, you need to be win-win. In some contexts, you need to be win-lose. One of the challenges that President Trump has is in his entire business career, he was win-lose. He was zero-sum. He was coming at it an extremely adversarial, aggressive strategy and tactic, and he really hasn't pivoted from that strategy. What he thinks worked in business, he's now doing it as president, and he's running into problems.
And very short-term focus, one-shot focus versus more of a longer-term and interrelated, interconnected issues approach you need in D.C., which is also not what he's used to.
That's exactly right. He has a very short-term not only attention span in a lot of ways, but a short-term focus, and he's focused on that short-term win. The first chapter in my book is, the first 10 chapters are his top 10 business negotiation strategies, and it all comes from what I talk about in chapter one, his instinctive win-lose mindset. He's going for that short-term win. The problem is he's not thinking about this like a chess match, 3, 4, 5, 10 moves down the line. He's thinking about a poker hand where, boom, you win, you lose, you're on to the next hand.
Interesting. He's a big user of extreme leverage and bluffing. And, you know, right now we're in this sort of tariffs war with China. He threw the fire and fury out there about North Korea. Are these basically bluffs with a plan to then go get something done?
Well, they may be bluffs. Part of the problem with President Trump's bluffing is he's super aggressive about it. Sometimes it's a bluff, sometimes it's real, but you have no level of predictability. Now, part of the problem is if he bluffs and they respond and they retaliate with tariffs, which is what they're doing, it escalates. So whether or not he was bluffing or it was real, you still have the damage. His bluffs aren't working if they were bluffs, and that's why we're getting into the problems we're getting into right now for our farmers and for some of the others, because it has massively negative consequences on some of the people right on the front lines in this trade war.
Tariff wars never seem to, you know, to work, so I'm not sure what he's getting at here. But we've built these multilateral coalitions, and whether it's the EU or NAFTA or TPP and all of that. He seems very bilateral, though.
No, I think that's right. And he's trying to create a bunch of bilateral deals with some of these countries. The problem is that the leverage we have with China is not just the leverage that the United States should have, it's the leverage we should have with our allies, with Mexico, with Canada, with the Europeans, with the South Americans, with some of our allies in Asia. So if you go it alone, you lose a lot of the leverage that actually President Obama was trying to create with the Trans-Pacific Partnership. And he's gone away from that, and he gives up leverage as a result. He seems to believe that because the United States has a lot of conventional power in terms of military or economic strength, that that necessarily translates to leverage in a trade context. And it just doesn't. It just doesn't.
Interesting. Now, we'll talk about some of these deals as we go on, but it seems you make a point that he's gone from diving very deeply into his initial deals to basically being out of touch with the details, and a lot of which in Washington policy is it. So does he cut his own leverage by not really getting into these, whether it's the Obama repeal and replace or the tax cuts, that he doesn't know enough to be credible?
You know, Jim, he doesn't only cut and weaken his leverage, but he weakens all of his strategies and tactics because he really doesn't understand some of the nitty-gritty details. Look, there's no question that when you're president, you're going to rely on your experts. You're going to rely on your congressional liaisons for some of the real, real details. But you have to know enough when you're meeting with that key congressman, the chair of one of those committees. You need to know what their interests are, what their needs are, and what you can trade with them, because at the end of the day, you're the president. And if you simply abdicate your responsibility to do that, you're going to run into problems because they're going to pick up on it, and that's going to weaken you all down the line.
Interesting. Let me ask this. Does he have the capacity, in your mind, from the past evidence to learn, to grow, to realize he's got to shift this, or is he kind of a guy that's frozen in the way he does stuff?
You know, I think he's got the capacity, the intellectual capacity to do it. Mm-hmm. Whether or not as a 72-year-old individual who has been negotiating basically the same way in business for 50 years, whether or not he has the will and the interest to pivot away from something, he thinks that some of this stuff is working, and that's part of the problem.
Yeah.
Part of the problem is you don't have some of his close advisors saying, hey, look, you know, this is wrong. You need to shift. You need to pivot. And if nobody's telling him that, that's a problem because he's not going to see any need to. He thinks he's winning.
If you put all this sort of mismatch with the type of skills you need in Washington, are you predicting failure?
I don't know that I'm predicting failure, but I think if you take a look at the objective evidence of what he did for almost 50 years in business, and by the way, he did a lot of great deals early on in his career.
Yeah.
Trump deal, very balanced deal. When he redeveloped the Commodore Hotel that became the Grand Hyatt in New York City, it was a great deal. Buying Mar-a-Lago, great deal. He has the capacity, the ability, and he certainly did early on in business to do it. But unless he pivots and goes back to the Donald Trump of the early 80s, he's going to run into a lot of problems, not only with Congress, but with our allies and our adversaries on the international front. Because what he's doing now, and I finish up my book with the last two chapters on his negotiations with President Nieto of Mexico and repealing and replacing Obamacare, what he's doing now as president, it's just not working.
He is a risk taker, an entrepreneur. And he's gone out and done stuff like without preconditions, met with North Korea, the fat boy there, Kim Jong-un, Putin. He talked about Iran now. Does he get some credit versus politicians that are so risk-averse?
I think he should get some credit. He really did, in a lot of ways, reduce the acrimony that existed with North Korea. But part of the problem is he creates the acrimony, he
yeah.
creates the problem, and then he tries to solve it and tries to take credit for solving it. Look, I think that we were ahead of where we might otherwise be with North Korea by meeting, but the question is the cost, and the question is whether or not he could have done it in a more effective way. He gave up actually a lot in that summit with Kim Jong-un, and we didn't get much in return, and now the evidence is they're not even doing what they said they were going to do anyways. They're not even starting to do it.
You listen to Business Talk with Jim Campbell over the Business Talk Radio Network, 350 stations around the country. Go to biztalkradio.com, find the station closest to you, listen over the Internet, access our podcast. We're going to look at Trump's deals going forward.
If you missed open enrollment for Obamacare and are without health insurance, I have good news for you. Hello, this is Kerry Hall, America's healthcare advocate and the president of Benefits by Design. The federal government has reopened enrollment for Obamacare health insurance beginning March 15th, which means you can apply for health insurance with one of our licensed exchange certified agents who will walk you through the process to see if you qualify for a subsidy that could pay for all or part of your health insurance. And how much does using one of our licensed agents cost you? Nothing. That's right, it costs you nothing, and we're there to help you 24/7 after you enroll. So don't miss this second chance. Call 913-385-2224. That's 913-385-2224 or online at americashealthcareadvocate.com. Once again, that phone number, 913-385-2224 or online at americashealthcareadvocate.com.
Does your water stain and damage your fixtures? Does it smell or taste bad? Are you worried about what's in your water? Water quality should not be painful and worrisome. Get HydroCare Water Systems from Wave Home Solutions with the most advanced purification technologies. Call Wave Home Solutions today at 1-888-989-WAVE or go to greathealthywater.com. HydroCare will eliminate lime scale that causes hundreds of dollars in damage to pipes and appliances without using salt. Well water will no longer smell or stain your fixtures. City water will be purified of harmful chlorine, lead, arsenic, and chemicals. Wave Home Solutions provides the cleanest, healthiest water at every faucet. Satisfaction guaranteed. For more information, call 1-888-989-WAVE, 1-888-989-WAVE, or go to greathealthywater.com. That's greathealthywater.com.
Wave Home Solutions for a healthy, comfortable home.
If your credit card bills have gotten out of hand, call Consolidated Credit now. If you're making the minimum payments, but your balance is just not going down, call Consolidated Credit now. If the interest rates on your credit cards are so high, it will take years to get out of debt, call Consolidated Credit now. They've helped over 5 million people. They can consolidate your debts into one lower payment, reduce your interest rates, and get you out of debt fast. If you're struggling with credit card debt, call Consolidated Credit now.
Call now, 800-350-3241. That's 800-350-3241. 800-350-3241.
Consolidated Credit Council. Counseling Services, Incorporated, 5701 West Sunrise Boulevard, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 33313. Not a loan company licensed by the New York Department of Financial Services and by the Vermont Department of Financial Regulation. Maryland DM-19, Oregon DM-80031. Licensed by Virginia State Corporation. Commission license number DC-32. Establishment of a plan may adversely affect the individual's credit rating or credit scores. Non-payment of debt may lead creditors to increase financial charges or collections activity, including litigation.
Is IRS debt affecting you and your family? If you received a wage garnishment notice, a bank levy, have unfiled taxes, or have an existing IRS debt of $10,000 or more, you need to make the call.
When we got a letter from the IRS, I made the call.
And Paramount negotiated a settlement that we could afford.
If you were so busy trying to make ends meet that you forgot to file your taxes, make the call and let Paramount put you back on track.
I was getting harassing phone calls morning, noon, and night. I made the call, and Paramount gave me peace of mind.
The professional experts at Paramount Tax Relief have been in your shoes. They're compassionate, honest, and will find the best solution for your problem.
I made the call.
I made the call.
I made the call.
We made the call.
Paramount Tax Relief. For a free consultation, make the call today.
Call 800-519-4480. 800-519-4480. 800-519-4480 for Paramount Tax Relief.
Biz Talk Radio.
We're back with Martin Lance, international negotiating expert, talking about Trump's negotiating skills. We got into this a little bit at the before, but that Trump's best deal seemed to be in the early years before he seemed to lose focus or something. Talk a little bit about the Grand Hyatt and the Trump Tower.
So one of his earliest deals, his first big early deal, was the redevelopment of the Commodore Hotel right next to Grand Central Station, which, of course, became the Grand Hyatt in New York. And he asked for very aggressive in terms of his asks. And that's actually one of the chapters in my book. It's something we can learn from him because he was so aggressive, he asked for a 99-year tax abatement, tax benefit. Nobody asked for a 99-year. In fact, he met with one of the city officials that needed to sign off on it, and they said, you should take a lot less because, you know, really the whole idea of a tax abatement is to allow you to redevelop this downtrodden area. And Trump at the time, who was in his late 20s, said, no, I'm not going to ask for less. I'm going to go for more. And he worked really, really hard, learned the details of the deal, had a vision, and he ultimately was able to accomplish it.
Now, that was $400 million tax abatement, which is amazing. But also, he was buying it, I think, from Penn Central or whatever, but he didn't have financing lined up. He didn't have the Hyatt necessarily lined up. He didn't have Penn. I mean, the whole thing was like smoke and mirrors, right?
It points to a really important part of the negotiation field, which is the sequencing of what you need to get the overall deal done. It was a very complex deal. He needed the land. He needed the financing. He needed the city to approve the tax abatement. And the interesting thing was that in order to get the city, he needed to have the land. In order to get the financing, he needed to have the land. So he sort of faked it. And you're right, there was some smoke and mirrors. He sort of said he's got the land from Penn Central Railways, which controlled the land, and they had gone bankrupt, so they're trying to get rid of it. He sort of faked it. He said he had the land, even though he didn't have the land, and he used that to get the city, and he used that to get the financing. It was very interesting, and they're certainly bordering on the unethical, and if not completely over the line.
And it seems like he's living off of his early laurels, because that and the Trump Tower, since then, a lot of his stuff has gone belly up. The Trump Tower, do you view that as a big victory? There's the statues that he destroyed in the middle of the night, the Polish immigrant workers he wasn't paying, rumors of mob construction links and all of that.
Well, you know, you're absolutely right, Jim, and you put your finger on a number of things where, obviously, from an ethical perspective as well as from a business perspective, were definite problems for him. Overall, the deal that he was able to accomplish, buying the rights to the land from a very recently bankrupt department store, got a great deal, saw an opportunity, jumped down for a pittance. He was able to get some. He was able to lock up some prime land on Fifth Avenue. He got the air rights to Tiffany right next door to Trump Tower for a relatively small amount with a very creative utilization of leverage. Hmm. He did some really good things with Trump Tower, but again, there were some ethical elements that even on his best deals were sitting right out there for people to see, and that had an impact on his reputation. And that, Jim, as you know, in business, can be a real problem on a going forward basis, because if you don't have a reputation as a straight shooter, you're going to have problems in your deals, and that ultimately led to some significant problems. Donald Trump has been involved in, on the business side, over 4,000 pieces of litigation, almost every one of his significant deals, including the Commodore Hotel and Trump Tower. Even though they're great deals, for him, there was a litigation surrounding it, and that litigation proved to be very problematic for him reputation-wise as well as financially in the end.
You think about it, you talk about burning bridges. Wall Street won't lend him money, and he's ended up getting a lot of money from Russia, which is causing a lot of the issues he has right now. I guess we have to say quickly, The Apprentice is also one of his biggest deals and may have landed him in the White House.
Well, there's no question that Donald Trump is a master of promotion. I think his sister called him P.T. Barnum-like. What he was able to get out of The Apprentice and the image that that NBC portrayed of him really, I think, set him up reputation-wise, not reality-wise, reputation-wise for his presidential run.
We're talking about some of his most successful deals here. Ironically, from reading your book, one of the most successful comes out of failure, which is the workout he got himself out of that $830 million of personal debt, of total $3 billion debt, and his entire empire almost collapsed.
Well, that's exactly right, Jim. In 1990, he had $3.2 billion of debt. $833.5 million of it was personally guaranteed, which, by the way, his dad, Fred, a very successful residential real estate baron in his own right, had told Donald from early on, don't personally guarantee this stuff.
Yeah.
You're asking for trouble. And at the time, an independent financial analyst hired by the banks found that Donald Trump was worth a minus $295 million, but he negotiated with those banks. And it was too expensive for those banks to take over his bankrupt assets, the Trump Shuttle, for which he, by the way, overpaid tens of millions of dollars, the Plaza Hotel. He overpaid by tens of millions of dollars, but he saddled the banks with it, and they didn't want to take it over because bankruptcy lawyers trying to run it themselves, you know, and they would have looked horrible for lending him all that money.
You know, that raises a question about the bank's credibility and Trump's analytical skills, because in the thicket says that they would have had to add three times the cash flow of the Plaza business just to service the debt. So how the heck could they have allowed him to pay that price?
Well, I tell you, the banks clearly did not do their due diligence on these deals. And I think it was Donald Trump who said, hey, these were the go-go 80s. They were throwing money at him. They weren't doing any real serious due diligence on his financial statements. They were giving him a pass. I think when he bought Mar-a-Lago, he bought it for $8 million. By the way, great deal for him.
Yeah.
He got a bank. He got a loan for $10 million. He got an extra $2 million in play money, even though the purchase price was only $8 million.
Also means it was 100% financed, right?
Yeah. Not only was it 100% financed, but again, Jim, you talk about being on that ethical line. He got an unrecorded mortgage on that property.
Ah.
That means is that nobody else is going to know about it. And so the other banks that he's going to for money, if it's unrecorded, they can look at his credit history and everything else, but if it's unrecorded, they don't know about it. And all of a sudden, he's got more debt than they think. And so, you know, even if they were doing their due diligence, he was pulling a few fast ones here and there to try to get himself some financing at low rates.
Some of the terms he got in that workout are just amazing to me. They gave him a $450,000 a month allowance. I don't know how you spend that. And an allowance for a guy who owed $800 million personally. And he got Citibank, essentially, I guess through sleight of hand, to fund his divorce of Ivana for $10
million. Well, that's right, Jim. And what's interesting is that Citibank didn't want to do it. But what they did is they gave him a business line of credit that he was supposed to use to run his businesses. But guess who had check writing privileges on that line of credit? That was Donald Trump. So what did he do with that money?
Wow.
He took that money and he wrote a check to his soon-to-be ex-wife, Ivana, and paid her off. And his attitude was, hey, what are the banks going to do to me? Again, he was too big to fail. He understood he had leverage. and he utilized it. And the banks just went along with it because, in part, they were complicit, I think, in putting him into that situation in the first place.
Listen to Business Talk with Jim Campbell from our flagship stations, WYBC Yale Radio, WGCH Greenwich. We'll look at the art of some failed deals in the third segment.
Have you written a book and want to get it published? Then call Page Publishing at 800-557-6095 immediately. That's 800-557-6095. Page Publishing is looking for authors of all types of books. And unlike most publishers, Page Publishing will take the time to review each and every book submitted to them and give you their feedback. If they like what they read, they'll get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, the Apple iTunes Store, Barnes & Noble, and other outlets. They handle everything: editing, cover design, copyright protection, printing, publicity, and distribution. So if you've written a novel, children's book, cookbook, inspirational work, poetry, or a biography and want to get it published, then you need to call Page Publishing and do it immediately. Call 800-557-6095 now for your free author submission kit. Again, for your free author submission kit, call 800-557-6095. That's 800-557-6095. Your road to fame and fortune could very well start with this simple phone call. Call Page Publishing at 800-557-6095 for your free author submission kit.
Are you ready to leave your corporate job behind and be your own boss? Have you ever dreamed of owning a business? Do you have $50,000 or more sitting around in a 401k? If you answered yes, it's time to invest in yourself by buying or starting a business or franchise. IRS code allows you to use money in a 401k to invest in a business with absolutely no penalties or taxes. At Guidant Financial, we've helped more than 11,000 entrepreneurs invest $3 billion in retirement assets into the small businesses and franchises of their dreams. So if you've got $50,000 or more in a 401k and you're looking for a way to start a business, call Guidant Financial now for free information and to learn more. Operators are standing by for your call. 800-570-6630. 800-570-6630. 800-570-6630. That's 800-570-6630.
If your credit card bills have gotten out of hand, call Consolidated Credit now. If you're making the minimum payments, but your balance is just not going down, call Consolidated Credit now. If the interest rates on your credit cards are so high, it will take years to get out of debt, call Consolidated Credit now. They've helped over 5 million people. They can consolidate your debts into one lower payment, reduce your interest rates, and get you out of debt fast. If you're struggling with credit card debt, call Consolidated Credit now.
Call now, 800-350-3241. That's 800-350-3241. 800-350-3241.
Consolidated Credit Counseling Services Incorporated, 5701 West Sunrise Boulevard, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 33313. Not a loan company, licensed by the New York Department of Financial Services and by the Vermont Department of Financial Regulation. Maryland DM-19, Oregon DM-80031. Licensed by Virginia State Corporation. Commission license number DC-32. Establishment of a plan may adversely affect the individual's credit rating or credit scores. Non-payment of debt may lead creditors to increase financial charges or collections activity, including litigation.
Nothing is more important than protecting your family and property. That's why you should make a free call right now to Vivint, the number one smart home services provider in the U.S. Vivint will make your home safer and more secure with a state-of-the-art system that's so simple to use. Vivint smart home specialists provide award-winning monitoring of your system 24/7, 365 to respond to any emergency, even when you can't. And with the 4.5-star rated Vivint smart home mobile app, control your entire house from anywhere. Locks, cameras, security system, all at your fingertips on your mobile device. Call Vivint now and get a free quote, professional installation, and full smart home service for as little as $2 per day. Equipment purchase or service agreement required. Conditions apply. Call now. A smart home is a safer home. So protect your family and your property, home or business, with a Vivint smart home system.
Call 800-526-9917. That's 800-526-9917. Call now, 800-526-9917.
Who did you let down today? Your wife? Your kids? Well, how about yourself? Take a look in the mirror. If you're tired of your drug and alcohol problem, you need to fix the problem and right now, before you hurt or kill yourself, or worse yet, somebody else. Call the addiction specialist now at the Detox and Treatment Helpline, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. If you have private insurance, we specialize in finding you the right treatment. When you call right now, you'll speak to a recovering addict who understands what you're going through right now. Let us help you break your addiction to drug and alcohol before it's too late. This call is completely confidential and free. So if you have private insurance, take 5 minutes of your time. Call right now. I promise it'll change your life.
Call now. 800-390-2470. 800-390-2470. 800-390-2470. Call right now. That's 800-390-2470.
Biz Talk Radio.
The book is The Real Trump Deal, an eye-opening look at how he really negotiates. And our guest is Marty Latz, who is an expert on negotiation. And we're going to talk about some of the deals that cratered now, which seems to be that he took his eye off the ball at some point in the 90s or something. But I want to start first with what I call almost cons, which is Trump University, which, you know, was not really what it was, and unfortunately ripped a lot of people off. The Trump Network was a pyramid scheme type of, these are licensing kinds of deals. Talk about those.
Jim, what he was able to accomplish after The Apprentice became such a blockbuster hit was to trade his name for deals. And one of the things I think that he probably learned from his series of failed deals in the mid-1980s, Trump Shuttle, Plaza Hotel, the Trump Princess, you know, how many casinos in Atlantic City, he wasn't a very good operator. He really wasn't a very good manager. Whether he recognized it or not, he found that after he went, in effect, way under, as we talked about before, and The Apprentice came along, he found a way to financially trade in on his reputation. And it really started to take advantage of one of his true skills, which is self-promotion. So he self-promoted. He got that name out there, and Trump became synonymous with, you know, gold apartments, success. And he took that and he tried to sell the name. He tried to sell the reputation. That's where Trump University, the secret real estate sauce, that's where he sold the branded shirts, the vodka, and you just name it. But he wasn't operating it. He was saying, hey, you pay me just a check each year and you can use my name. You operate it, you do it. But one of the problems, and the problem that Trump University ran into in a lot of ways, is he's doing these licensing deals with shady characters.
Yeah.
And he's not really overseeing any of it. He didn't care. He's getting his check.
Why would you do business with shady characters? I mean, is he just blind to that? Or he just wants money?
I think that he was focused on winning. And the way he perceived winning was name recognition, promotion, and a check. And a significant check. And he didn't really view litigation as particularly problematic as long as net-net he's winning. He's getting those checks. And so I think that, you know, from a reputational perspective, his reputation was driven by The Apprentice. And even though, you know, there are lawsuits here and there, he can always argue, as he did, that there are two sides to every story. And if he pays them off or settles the lawsuit, he's still getting more deals because his name was out there as this masterful business negotiator, masterful business leader from The Apprentice, which continued to rake in the money.
So if you look at Trump University, there was no there, and he didn't handpick the guys out, and he didn't give the profits to charity, and he upped credit limits for people that couldn't afford it. I mean, you don't have to look very closely to say it would be destined to fail.
This is all predictable. It's not just Trump University. It's what he's doing as president right now because he has a history of this type of promotion. I mean, even in his first or second big deal, Trump Tower, you know, he had this pseudonym, John Barron, that he called and spoke to the press. And so how did he sell apartments in Trump Tower? Well, he calls up members of the press in New York, and, of course, they're printing anything that he says because Trump Tower, it's big. It became the place to live at the time, and he said, hey, do you know who recently is looking at at buying a whole floor in Trump Tower. It's Princess Di. She was here last week. And, of course, the press, the gossip press, they run it. And are there any consequences for Donald Trump? No. But the buzz is out there, and he's winning. He's selling based on these rumors. So when you look at Trump University, you can see precursors all the way through. How did he sell this? How did he promote this? It's a pattern.
I'd talk a little bit about what it's like to partner with Trump in two things, the USFL, and then he took the casinos public, which means he had shareholders as partners. Talk about the USFL first, because if that's a screw-your-partner deal, I don't know what is.
Well, I'm telling you, he had a couple of goals when he bought the New Jersey Generals in the USFL. One really was to try to leverage his ownership into an NFL franchise. And he was going to do it at all costs. And he didn't care about the rules for the USFL. It had a very different management philosophy up until the time. But he became the face of the USFL. And by becoming the face of the USFL, he created sufficient leverage with the other owners so that if he pulls out, they got a problem on their hands. And so they ended up going along with him, and they went along with him right down the tubes.
And they moved to the fall, which didn't make sense. He lost them the NBC contract. He signed LT, Lawrence Taylor, but Philadelphia team supposedly had the rights to him. You just go on and on. Was it, from a personal point of view, Trump's self-interest, was it smart to leverage to try to, an antitrust suit to try to get in on the cheap, or was that just, irresponsible?
Well, at the end of the day, he lost $22 million on this entire effort. On the other hand, he won the antitrust suit against the NFL. And the NFL, I think was very aggressive against him. And he only lost, he won the suit, but he only got $1 in damages.
Yes, yeah.
But keep in mind, it was a split jury, and he only lost by one vote. So he came very close.
Wow.
To winning in that particular situation.
Now, he testified under oath about what the commissioner of the NFL, Pete Rozelle, said to him. And either Rozelle or Trump are lying under oath.
Well, that's right, Jim. And what's really interesting to me about the testimony, it was a secret meeting that Pete Rozelle, the head of the NFL, and Donald Trump had before the USFL sort of pivoted and decided to go head-to-head with the NFL with a fall season. Traditionally, their whole business model was the USFL is going to be in the spring, the NFL can stay in the fall, they'll build up their teams, and ultimately maybe there will be a merger. But Trump didn't have patience. Doesn't have patience now, didn't have patience then. He pushed for the fall, and the antitrust suit was about, hey, the NFL is going to try to keep us from being in the fall and keeping a competitor. So before they jumped into that, Donald Trump and Pete Rozelle had a meeting, and one of them, you're right, was not telling the truth. Interestingly enough, Pete Rozelle, after that meeting, he took notes about it. He talked to his friends. He wrote a memo to the file. Does that sound familiar to you, Jim, vis-a-vis James Comey?
And you'll also see that he has a history in depositions of saying stuff that doesn't appear to be true, which is supposed to get you in trouble, isn't it?
Well, that's right. When you make material misrepresentations or you lie under oath, that's supposed to be a real problem. But he really has never had to face up to significant problems or significant legal problems, although he's been investigated a number of times.
I want to talk about taking the casinos public. I mean, they had crashed, basically, or he had crashed, and he was able, and so he goes and gets partners or shareholders, but he's able to essentially transfer all of his debt and lousy stuff and oversell his businesses to the public entity and basically rip them off.
Well, it's amazing. I mean, who among us wouldn't love, if you're in a negotiation, to be sitting on both sides of the table at the same time? So you've got here public company DJT. He's playing off his reputation, even though he went in effect under with his businesses in 1990. The public didn't perceive that he had really truly failed in everything because his partner bank sort of covered it up. and let him get away with it. So now he's going to play in on his reputation. He creates a public company. He raises all this money. And now, of course, he's CEO of this public company. So what does he do? He's going to go buy those casinos, which, by the way, those casinos, he had a lot of personally guaranteed debt on them. So what does he do? He overpays Donald Trump on the other side of the table, and he's out from under that debt. And guess who pays in the end for all that debt? The shareholders.
And the numbers.
A lot of money on those deals.
The numbers are amazing. He goes public for $14 a share. It's $140 million. It reaches $36 a share, eventually drives it to 17 cents. He sold the Hilton Castle from himself to the public corporation for $520 million, and then the corporation sold it for $38 million. They lost $1 billion in profits in 10 years. Trump made $44 million in compensation. And then I like the comparison of performance. $100 of Donald J. Trump DJT stock in 95 would be worth $4 in 2005. MGM, the competitor, $100 starting in 95 be worth $600. And that's the performance as a public running a public company.
Well, and I think, Jim, what's really important about what you said was you can't say, he can't claim that it was the market. He can't claim that it was somebody else's fault. He was running it, and at the same time he was running it, it's going downhill, and at the same time somebody else is running a similar gaming company, it's going straight up through the roof.
All right, we got our final segment coming up. We'll talk about whether Trump can be a successful president or not.
Do you have an idea for an invention or new product? Do you think companies would be interested in your idea? Do you want to try to get a patent? Then call InventHelp now. InventHelp keeps your idea confidential and explains every step of the invention process. We create professional materials representing your idea and submit it to companies who are looking for new ideas. We have more than 9,000 companies who have agreed to review ideas in confidence. If a company shows interest in manufacturing your invention, we can negotiate on your behalf. We have helped over 10,000 clients receive patents. We also offer services including 3D modeling and animation demonstrating your idea, prototyping services, and we use state-of-the-art technology to show InventHelp client ideas to additional companies. Join the thousands of people just like you who chose InventHelp to pursue their idea. We are experienced. We are working for you. We are InventHelp.
Call us for free information at 1-800-607-8945. That's 1-800-607-8945. Again, 1-800-607-8945.
Does your water stain and damage your fixtures? Does it smell or taste bad? Are you worried about what's in your water? Water quality should not be painful and worrisome. Get HydroCare Water Systems from Wave Home Solutions with the most advanced purification technologies. Call Wave Home Solutions today at 1-888-989-WAVE or go to greathealthywater.com. HydroCare will eliminate lime scale that causes hundreds of dollars in damage to pipes and appliances without using salt. Well water will no longer smell or stain your fixtures. City water will be purified of harmful chlorine, lead, arsenic, and chemicals. Wave Home Solutions provides the cleanest, healthiest water at every faucet. Satisfaction guaranteed. For more information, call 1-888-989-WAVE, 1-888-989-WAVE, or go to greathealthywater.com. That's greathealthywater.com.
Wave Home Solutions for a healthy, comfortable home.
If your credit card bills have gotten out of hand, call Consolidated Credit now. If you're making the minimum payments, but your balance is just not going down, call Consolidated Credit now. If the interest rates on your credit cards are so high, it will take years to get out of debt, call Consolidated Credit now. They've helped over 5 million people. They can consolidate your debts into one lower payment, reduce your interest rates, and get you out of debt fast. If you're struggling with credit card debt, call Consolidated Credit now.
Call now, 800-350-3241. That's 800-350-3241. 800-350-3241.
Consolidated Credit Counseling Services Incorporated, 5701 West Sunrise Boulevard, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 33313. Not a loan company licensed by the New York Department of Financial Services and by the Vermont Department of Financial Regulation. Maryland DM-19, Oregon DM-80031. Licensed by Virginia State Corporation. Commission license number DC-32. Establishment of a plan may adversely affect the individual's credit rating or credit scores. Non-payment of debt may lead creditors to increase financial charges or collections activity, including litigation.
This is a national health care alert from Wholesale Braces. If you, a family member, or a loved one suffers from knee pain and have Medicare as your primary insurance, we've got great news. you could qualify for a pain-relieving knee brace at little or no cost to you. Get free delivery, and all the paperwork is handled by our accredited suppliers at no charge to you. If you are on Medicare and have knee pain, don't wait. You may qualify to immediately receive a pain-relieving brace at little or no cost. Friendly agents are standing by 24/7 to help you. We also have other pain-relieving braces available for shoulder, ankle, and your back. You may be eligible to get these items and more at little or no cost to you as well. Our friendly representatives are standing by now to take your call.
866-490-3990. 866-490-3990. 866-490-3990. 866-490-3990.
Is IRS debt affecting you and your family? If you received a wage garnishment notice, a bank levy, have unfiled taxes, or have an existing IRS debt of $10,000 or more, you need to make the call.
When we got a letter from the IRS, I made the call.
And Paramount negotiated a settlement that we could afford.
If you were so busy trying to make ends meet that you forgot to file your taxes, make the call and let Paramount put you back on track.
I was getting harassing phone calls morning, noon, and night. I made the call, and Paramount gave me peace of mind.
The professional experts at Paramount Tax Relief have been in your shoes. They're compassionate, honest, and will find the best solution for your problem.
I made the call.
I made the call.
I made the call.
We made the call.
Paramount Tax Relief. For a free consultation, make the call today.
Call 800-519-4480. 800-519-4480. 800-519-4480 for Paramount Tax Relief.
Biz Talk Radio.
We're back, international negotiating expert Marty Lance. So we've talked about the fit between his skills and what you need in Washington. He's got a lot of big things on the table: North Korea, Putin, Iran, the wall, immigration. Did get the tax cuts through. Do you think that Trump can be a successful president, and he might be reelected just because the economy's good?
Well, he might be reelected because the economy's good. You know, if you take a look at a lot of the indicators, you know, the economy is not only doing pretty well right now, but if you take a look at the electoral prospects of presidents who run during economic good times, and it's pretty high in terms of re-election. You know, on the other hand, as you indicated, you know, other than getting his big tax cut passed by Congress, he really hasn't accomplished a great deal with regard to at least negotiations in his first 500-plus days, other than, of course, all the regulatory stuff that he's doing, which is significant, but he doesn't really have to do a lot of negotiations for it.
No, I don't think he's even involved in it, frankly. It's behind the scenes. The tax cuts are interesting, too, because I interviewed Larry Lindsey, who was Bush 43's head of the National Economic Council, and he said that they knew that if they failed in getting that tax cut done, the Trump administration would basically be finished, and that they were trying to do everything they could to keep him off the stage and out of it. So it's kind of interesting, and that's his biggest success.
And, Jim, you know, that's also in part because of the history of what Donald Trump had done during his negotiations to repeal and replace Obamacare. Because, in fact, there were three negotiations involved.
Yes.
There were two in the House, one in the Senate. In the first one with the House, it crashed and burned. In the second one in the House, of course, he succeeded. And in the third one in the Senate, of course, the famous thumbs down by Arizona Senator John McCain. There's a really fascinating story with regard to the Senate negotiation where President Trump sent down his chief of staff at the time, I think it was Reince Priebus, to meet with the Republican Senate caucus. And he goes down and he says, you know, the Senate caucus was meeting. The Republicans in the Senate were meeting. And they told Priebus, you can sit outside. You can't even sit in the room with us.
Wow.
Can you imagine? I mean, one of the master negotiators at the presidential level in our history was Lyndon Johnson. Whether you like him or you hate him, everyone recognizes he was a master negotiator.
Yes.
True arm twister. Boy, oh boy. Can you imagine the United States Senate telling his chief of staff, you're not even going to be able to sit in the room?
Let me ask you this. We're just talking about whether he can be successful as a president. Was he successful as a businessman? I mean, if he put his inheritance, right, as we say, into an index fund or something, he'd be worth $5 billion. We've gone through all these deals that cratered. Was he really successful as a businessman?
Jim, we don't know. we just don't know. You know, I mean, he didn't, despite promising to release his tax returns after his audit was done. We don't know what he's worth. I mean, clearly he is a master promoter. Clearly he made a lot of money from licensing. Mm-hmm. Clearly he was able to recover from a devastating financial crisis in 1990. Clearly he is a very good actor, and he was very successful on The Apprentice. Is he a good business operator? I would say, based on an objective evaluation of the evidence, no. You take a look at his casinos. Did not operate them efficiently, effectively, did not make those shareholders money. Is he running, or was he running prior to becoming president, a pretty successful licensing operation? Well, he probably was. A lot of it was likely based on his reputation from The Apprentice. How much of that was smoke and mirrors, like Trump University? We don't know, but clearly he, you know, he's got his own 57?
All right, let me ask you this now. Do ethics matter anymore? In the book, there's a lot of, you go through lying and misrepresentation, bullying and threats. Twitter, of course, he's out there name-calling and demeaning people, and then litigation like crazy. Do those things matter?
Absolutely they matter. I believe that Donald Trump would have gotten the Senate to repeal and replace Obamacare had he developed an ethical reputation and had not called Senator John McCain a true war hero.
Yes.
Not a war hero. I mean, I'm sure Senator McCain would say, you know, he solely made his decision yes. based on the merits of that deal. But, you know, if you're on the fence, if it's in a gray area, do you say thumbs up or thumbs down? He said thumbs down. Ethics matter. Telling the truth matters. And I think we're seeing that in his relative lack of legislative accomplishments. I mean, as you said, Jim, he got his tax cut through, but he hasn't gotten much else.
The bullying and the threats and Twitter, does that matter? Is that doing, you know, we just talked that it may have cost him that vote because of McCain, but, it demeans the presidency the way he goes about it, but it just seems to be accepted now?
Jim, it not only demeans the presidency, it's ineffective.
Yeah, that's
really doesn't work.
Interesting.
There are some very limited circumstances under which threats, based on the research, can be effective. But doing it instinctively or intuitively, negotiating by Twitter, is not the way to go. The goal of a threat has to be to change their behavior to give you what you want. It should not be retaliatory tariffs. It should not be to spiral the relationship downhill. And yet that's what has happened. When you personalize and you call the Prime Minister of Canada, Justin Trudeau, what he called him, you don't get the benefit of the doubt in our trade negotiations over NAFTA, and you don't get an ally in negotiating with China. You get just the opposite.
And what about negotiating that Mexico's going to pay for a wall and giving no out for Mexico to be able to work around that at all?
You know, Jim, you're putting your finger on, again, a really critical part of negotiating as president that is different from negotiating in business. It's what we call behind-the-table negotiations. In business, you're at the table. You're the decider-in-chief. You can make a determination as to yay or nay on the deal. In a presidential context, at the same time you're negotiating at the table, you need to be negotiating with your constituents, and so does the other side. What Justin Trudeau said in his press conference after that G7 meeting was focused on his domestic audience, and apparently President Trump really didn't understand it. He reacted instinctively or intuitively to it, and that caused a downhill shift, not only in our relationship with Canada, but with everybody else that was at that G7 meeting as well.
Well, the book is fascinating, and as I said, it's put together on a fact-based basis. You can make your own conclusions, and in a world of fake news, that's a healthy way to be. Thanks to Martin Latz, his book, and it's just out, The Real Trump Deal, an eye-opening look at how he really negotiates. It's been Business Talk with Jim Campbell. Thanks to Marty Lax. Thanks to our national audience for listening. We'll see everybody next Sunday on Business Talk with Jim Campbell.
The opinions you hear on Biz Talk Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests, and do not necessarily reflect those of this station, Biz Talk Radio, its management, or advertisers. The information on Biz Talk Radio does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or securities. Please consult a professional before investing. If you have any questions about Biz Talk Radio, contact us at 817-274-1609 or at biztalkradio.com. Biz Talk Radio.